Blog Talk Radio.
God has not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our life through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised
Saints, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. What a beautiful song, what God has promised. And of course, we know that no matter what storms, upheavals, situations come in life, He has not promised us always sunny weather. Not to the Christian, not to anyone. But to the Christian, He has promised to be there in the midst of the storm. What has God promised? That He'll be there for you each and every day. He'll be there for you when it's beautiful out and when the family is at the picnic and we're having family time and it's a great reunion and love is everywhere. But it'll also be with us when we're at the funeral parlor with our brokenhearted family members when we experience the loss of a loved one. That's God. He promises sunshine and He promises rain. And that's life. And so I thought it would be good to start the weekend or the week off with that hymn to remind us that no matter what you go through, no matter what you go through, the Lord is by your side. The Lord is by your side. Well, we're starting a new series. It's Monday. The title of this series, which is Series 5, Knowing God and Doing Exploits. In 2022, knowing God and doing exploits in 2022. Our series is based on one scripture, Daniel 11, verse 32. Daniel 11, verse 32. I really want to focus on the latter part of the verse, but we're going to read it in its entirety. And I have it for you here today in three different translations. The first translation, as always, King James Version. It says, And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, reads, "He will flatter those who hate the things of God and win them over to his side. But the people who know their God shall be strong and do great things." And, of course, the next version is the Amplified Bible, and it says, "And as such as violate the covenant, shall he pervert and seduce with flatteries. As such as violate the covenant, he shall pervert and seduce with flatteries. But the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do exploits for God." That is the all righty. Now, let us look at today's subject matter, January 31st. And I want to give you an introduction, a background to the text. This text has to do with one of the antichrists that appears in history. As there is only one Christ, you and I know that there is only one Christ, one promised Messiah, one person that the nations were waiting for, and he came, and his name is Jesus. But all throughout Bible history, Satan has been trying to copy God, and Satan has raised up in history numerous antichrists, and I only have a few here. I didn't list them all, but I did list the ones that deal with Babel itself, or Babylon, or Mystery Babylon. And of course, I have to list this person referred to in Daniel 11:32, because although he is not from Babel, he is a antichrist, or a foreshadowing of the ultimate antichrist. Introduction. The introduction here refers to the great persecution under Antiochus Epiphanes. That is the person not mentioned by name in verse number 32, but it is the person being referred to. So the great persecution under Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, we have here the list of four individuals listed here. Number one is Nimrod. You will find the story of Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Nimrod was the founder of Babel. Nimrod happened to be the son of one of Noah's sons named Ham. Nimrod was a rebel against the Lord and led a mass rebellion of the post-diluvian people. He got all the post-diluvian people together in rebellion against God, except a few. There's always a remnant. But Nimrod led this rebellion against the Lord, and that is recorded in Genesis chapter 11, where you have the Tower of Babel, or the Tower of Babel, whatever preferred rendering you like. So, again, Nimrod was the founder of Babel. He established that kingdom and also led a rebellion against God, which is documented in chapter 11. So we get his background and his history and his parentage from Genesis 10, 8 through 10, but the rebellion, the great fight against God, is recorded in Genesis chapter 11. He is the first Antichrist. The second Antichrist is a gentleman or a person named in the book of Daniel by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. This Babylonian king who was given to him the task by God to go in and ransack the Jewish temple as a result of a punishment. God was punishing his people for falling into apostasy. And so God said, well, if you really want to go into apostasy, I will let a Babylonian king come and take you captive. And the southern kingdom of Judah was taken captive. There are two tribes in Judah, Benjamin and Judah, and the southern kingdom taken into captivity, and they were in captivity for 70 years. And the person who brought them into the Babylonian captivity was none other than Nebuchadnezzar. By the way, the great reformer Martin Luther, he wrote a book called The Babylonian Captivity, and in that book he describes how the Church of Rome, how the Roman Catholic Church had enslaved the people of God and in essence put them in a Babylonian captivity. Fantastic read by Martin Luther, one of his many, 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 many profound writings. So the Babylonian captivity was started by Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, he was not around for all 70 years, but his successors in the Babylonian throne kept the people in captivity until the 70 years that God had predicted would be up. So he is the second Antichrist in Babylon. So you have Babel in its embryonic state with Nimrod. You go from Babel to Babylon, that's Nebuchadnezzar. And then finally, number four, you have Mystery Babylon. And Mystery Babylon, that's Revelation 17, but in Mystery Babylon will also have, and Mystery Babylon is a religious / political entity which will be headed by the ultimate Antichrist foretold in the New Testament and in other portions of Scripture. And in Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 45, it is referring to the ultimate Antichrist. Now, between Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel 1 through 4, ultimate Antichrist, and Daniel 11, 36 through 45, in between those two, in between the one in green and the one in red, you have Antiochus Epiphanes. And the reason why we're bringing him up is because the text we're reading from falls under the description of his anti-Christian reign. Remember, we're looking at Daniel 11:32. Antiochus Epiphanes is mentioned in Daniel 11:21 through 35. So, who is Antiochus Epiphanes? Well, he's really Antiochus the Fourth. The very name Antiochus in Greek means withstander. As you can see in the name Antiochus, you can see anti. You can see it right there. Antiochus the Fourth. His name Antiochus means withstander. And his name, Epiphanes, is a surname or a nickname. That's what Epiphanes is. And Epiphanes means God manifested or God manifest. This guy, Antiochus Epiphanes, gave himself the surname because he thought he was God in the flesh. That, my brothers and sisters, is an antichrist. Well, how did Antiochus Epiphanes come into power? Well, you know, when Alexander the Great died, his vast kingdom was taken over by four generals. Four generals divided Alexander's kingdom. The Seleucid dynasty was all of Alexander's generals, all four generals were Greek. Alexander was a Greek king, a Macedonian king. So his generals were Greek, and they divvied up his vast empire into four quarters, if you will. And Antiochus Epiphanes comes from that dynasty, one of those dynasties, one of those Greek dynasties known as the Seleucid dynasty. And they ruled Syria and large tracts in Palestine. And that's where they come into contact with God's people, the Jewish people. Well, according to Daniel, in Daniel 11, verses 21 through 35, he would be a great persecutor of God's people, pretty much like the Antichrist that is to come will be a great persecutor of God's people. All of this, all of these four men, Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar, Antiochus, and the ultimate Antichrist, they are all in opposition to God, and the first three foreshadow the coming of the last one, the one who would reign over Mystery Babylon, who the book of Revelation, by the way, calls the beast. He is the beast. Antichrist of Daniel 11:36 through 45 is the beast of Revelation 13, verses 1 and 3. So he is the great beast, the ultimate Antichrist of all Antichrists. So let me give you a little bit of background on this man named Antiochus. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Now, you know the prophecy. Daniel has a vision, and he sees four different kinds of beasts. And in Daniel 8, he talks about this goat beast, this he-goat. This he-goat represents Alexander the Great's empire, the Macedonian empires. You know there's going to be four. There's going to be, first of all, the first prophesied empire would be the Babylonian empire. The second empire would be the Medo-Persian empire. The third empire would be the Greek empire. And the fourth empire would be the Roman empire. It's from the Roman empire that the last Antichrist comes, but that third empire, the he-goat empire, also gives us another Antichrist, and that Antichrist is known here as the little horn. So let's read in Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 8, starting at verse 8. Therefore, the he-goat, referring to Alexander the Great and his Macedonian empire, waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was what? Broken. Alexander died very young. And for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. Those are his four generals who took over when Alexander the he-goat died. And out of one of them came forth a little horn. That little horn, my brothers and sisters, is Antiochus Epiphanes. And it goes on to say, which waxed very great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. That phrase, pleasant land, is the land of Israel, the land of Palestine. So his empire went towards the east, as it says here. It says it waxed towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. His empire went in three different directions. And it says, and it waxed great even to the host of heaven, to it cast down some of the hosts of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Now, what does that mean? That his empire was even able to bring down some of the stars of heaven and bring the stars to the ground and stamp them out. Well, if you recall, in Genesis 17, when God made the promise to Abraham that he would bless his descendants, he said, look up to the heavens. Can you count the stars? Abraham, can you count the stars in heaven? And Abraham said, no, Lord, I cannot count them. He says, so shall thy descendants be. So the stars being referred to here are the Jewish people. And Antiochus Epiphanes launched a persecution against them, and many were killed, and many had their life stamped out of them. So, again, this Antiochus Epiphanes, this man who claimed to be God manifested. Remember, Antiochus, anti, he's an antichrist, not the ultimate antichrist, but one who would show up in history as a foreshadow of what is to come. And it is from him that we take our verse for this week. It's from him. So note, let's continue reading here in Daniel 8. Yea, he magnified himself, as all antichrists do, even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. What did he do? Well, Antiochus went into the and desecrated it. And then verse 14, it says, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So notice, let's talk about a few things here that I want you to take note of. First of all, in verse number 8, the little horn is none other than Antiochus. He plundered the temple in 175 B.C. He plundered the temple and desecrated. Not only did he take the riches out of the temple, but then he desecrated the temple and the altar by offering pig's flesh on it. Okay, that you find in verse number 9. All right, then he stamps out the host of heaven. These are the people of God, the Jews, who were horribly persecuted by Antiochus. How do we know that these stars of heaven are the Jews? Because God said to Abraham in spiritual language, your descendants will be as the stars of heaven. So he did cast them down. He just stamped out their life. We also know, based on verse 14, that he will persecute the Jews for 2,300 days. When the 2,300 days are over, Antiochus Epiphanes will be defeated and sent home packing. And that indeed happened. Now, all of this was prophesied. All of this that we're reading here today, all of that was predicted by Daniel, and it did come to pass. So, what was Antiochus Epiphanes known for? Well, his main thing was, this is what he really wanted to do. This was his main goal as leader, as monarch of that territory, the east, the south, and the pleasant land. This was his goal. His goal was to take all the people there, all the people of those lands, and give them one religion, one law, one custom. That sounds to me like what Antichrist is going to do in Revelation 13. You see, it's the same thing. It's the same thing that Nimrod tried to do in Genesis 11. It's the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar tried to do in Daniel 1 through 4. It is what Antiochus Epiphanes tried to do during his reign, and it is what future Antichrist will try to do. And that is what? Make us all of one religion, one law, the law coming from the throne, coming from man, and of one custom. That, my brothers and sisters, is the New World Order. That, my brothers and sisters, is the ecumenical movement sweeping the churches, where now all churches all want to be speaking the same thing and believing the same thing and uniting church and state. And whenever you unite church and state, you get what Constantine gave us, which was Rome, pollution, if you will. That we're doing our study on this week focuses on the time period in which this man, Antiochus Epiphanes, was predicted to be in power. So let's look at the text one more time. And I want you to go to the Living Bible, because And the Living Bible says he will flatter those who hate the things of God. Who is the he in the text? Obviously, the he is Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus the Fourth. He, like the Antichrist in the future, he will flatter those, he will promote those, he will dote and love on those who hate the things of God. He's an Antichrist. And win them over to his side. That's what the Antichrist is looking for people to follow his government and worship him. Because remember, all Antichrists claim to be an epiphany or the manifestation of God in the flesh. So he will flatter those who hate the things of God and win them over to his side. But, and thank God for that but, for that conjunction, but the people that do, people who know their God, shall be strong and do great things. There's a people who read the Bible. There's a people who know Bible prophecy. There's a people who know the time in which they live in. There's a people who will not be duped. There's a people who read scripture and know what is going on while the rest of the world is oblivious. While the rest of the world knows nothing, we know what time of day it is because we are reading God's prophetic clock. And the people who are in tune to God, the people who read Revelation, and you know what the book of Revelation says, and let me read it to you. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, here it is. Here's Bible. And this is where we get our encouragement from. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed is he that readeth, and he that hears the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You see, my brothers and sisters, there's a people who know their God, and who know his scriptures, and who know his word. These people shall be strong in the things of the faith and shall do great things for God in these last days. You and I are those people. You and I are the believers. And one greater than Antiochus Epiphanes is about to show up. And already, this Antichrist that will soon appear is already at work. Haven't you noticed how they're trying to bring us all under one religion and one set of laws and one set of customs? My brothers and sisters, history is repeating itself, but there is a people of God. So let's tune in. Starting tomorrow, let's come back tomorrow and all through the week, and let's find out what this text says and how we ought to be encouraged by it. Again, the series title is Knowing God and Doing Exploits 2022. I want to end today's broadcast by reminding you about prayer tomorrow at 7:30, and by playing this wonderful hymn, Wonderful Story of Love. God bless you.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, with the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love, still it has come to me. Wonderful story of love.